Good morning. Welcome to Digitally Enabled. I'm Greg Silverman, the Executive Director at Monogle. And today I'm joined by Paige, who runs Mavens and Moguls. Paige, say hello to the audience and tell them a little bit about your current position.
Hey, Greg, thanks for having me. So I started Mavens and Moguls 20 years ago, which is really hard to believe. I joke that I'm like the accidental entrepreneur. I never thought I'd be starting a company and working for myself longer than I worked for anybody else ever in my entire career. But I don't know what I'll do if I get sick of my boss this time. I'll be dead in the water. But I started my marketing career in kind of consumer products, packaged goods marketing at Procter & Gamble. I had a very traditional CPG, you know, worked at Coca-Cola, ran marketing at three successful startups that all had good exits. And when 9/11 hit, the marketing jobs dried up and a lot of people came out of the woodwork, venture capitalists and private equity guys who had backed those startups I worked for and asked me to help them out. And here I am. So we basically are a virtual marketing department for organizations that need access to marketing talent on an as-needed outsourced basis.
Excellent, Paige. 20 years as you're owning your own shop. Well done. I had one for 12. I miss it. But it isn't easy. So what we focus on in Digitally Enabled is the digital challenges that either your business faces or your client faces. And maybe you could just tell us a little bit about the one challenge that, you know, predominates what you're focused on today, or a good story. And I'll ask you a few questions about it.
Sounds good. So I think we've all learned a lot of important lessons in the last 2+ years through the pandemic. And one of the biggest lessons is you don't exist today unless you can be found online. So the biggest challenge I'm dealing with a lot of my clients is how to put their best face forward in a virtual hybrid environment. So a lot of people come to us and find us because they want to have the right words and pictures to tell a compelling story, to find the audience, to help them thrive. And so whether they're B2C, B2B, nonprofit, technology, you know, we're kind of industry agnostic. We work across all different categories. But the unifying theme, the common denominator is everybody needs to have a very strong online presence today or you don't exist. Being invisible online is a terrible strategy. And, you know, unless you can break through the noise and own real estate in your customer's mind, you don't exist today. So The big challenge that we're really wrestling with is to help our clients tell a very consistent, compelling story at every touch point. So, you know, you have to basically know what your strengths are, know what your value proposition is, and just pick one or two, at most three things you want to stand for and be known for. I think where people get into trouble is they try and spread themselves too thin and they want to be known for a million different things. And that's just not possible. People can't remember that much.
Yeah, they might be better off just with a single-minded idea. So how do you help them discover that single-minded idea? I mean, that, you know, it's great. I think I understand the framework, but then you've got to get them to be realistic and take inventory. What do you do to get them there?
So as I mentioned, I started my marketing career at Procter & Gamble. P&G is probably the most data-driven consumer products company in the world. Everything starts and ends with the research. And so that is my bias. That's how I was trained. So I don't care what you think, your mom, your best friend, your neighbor.
Oh, wait, it's my business, right?
Unfortunately, that, you know, I really cringe when people come to me and say, oh my God, I have the greatest product or the greatest service. Everyone loves it. I don't understand why we're not selling more. And I'm like, okay, tell me a little bit more about that. They say, well, everybody just says it's great and they love it. And I'm like, okay, tell me who everybody is. Who are you talking to? And if you're not talking to the decision maker and the target audience and the gatekeeper of who is in that buying process, it doesn't matter. So I really work with my clients to try and do actual market research, because you know, if you're not asking the right audience the right questions, it's like garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah, you get the right answer to the wrong question.
Bingo.
Are you getting them? Are you kind of like building personas? And
we do all
primary.
Of
you're doing primary research with startups.
If they've collected the research, we may be doing secondary research. We may do some Zoomerang or SurveyMonkey to keep costs really low. But you have to ask questions in an objective way. The challenge, again, is that if you're leading the witness and you're asking questions like, tell me all the things you love about our product.
It's like me asking my mother if she loves me, right?
Exactly. That is not helpful. That is not actually market research. That's garbage. And so we really have to work hard to ask the right audience the right question in the right way and extrapolate those insights. Because, you know, companies are overwhelmed with data today. We collect so much data and you can get buried in the numbers. So it's how do you find those insights and how do you own real estate in your customer's brain? So when they have a problem that you can help them solve, they think of you first.
Yeah, but that must be a huge challenge to get people to let go of this broad, you know, I've seen it on Shark Tank. I'm going to get 1% of the market. You know, they get slaughtered. How do you get them?
People never get money.
Yeah. How do you get to, what do you do to get a senior leadership team to give up what they think is a market or a customer opportunity to get deep and single-minded? I mean, what's the process or cultural things you have to get them to go through?
Yeah. So it can be hard. And sometimes you have to ask a lot of questions and you have to just keep digging and ask why, like sometimes 3, 4, 5 times in a row, because they're just on the surface and they're not letting themselves kind of break out of the mold of, you know, they think they have all the answers. They think they know. You know, I always tell people, if you're looking for a consulting firm or an agency to put together a PowerPoint to support the idea that you have, we are not that firm.
Yeah, don't call us.
Don't call us. There are plenty of companies out there that are happy to cash your check and tell you exactly what you think you already know. That is not our sweet spot. So, right. You know,
so you can get them to a place where they make some hard strategic choices, usually of what they're not going to do, right?
Exactly. And then, it's learning how to say no. It's not learning how to say yes. You know, putting together a marketing plan and a strategy is like, how do you have that single-minded focus of, you know, what are you going to say yes to? And what are, more importantly, what are you going to say no to? I think the companies that are the most successful learn how to say no to anything that's a distraction that, you know, they end up just putting a lot of money behind something that dilutes the brand or waters down their message or spreads them too thin.
So you got them to yes and no. And they, okay, now they're living in your yes world, right? And they walk in and let's say they had no digital identity. What do they do? How do you get them to like have a digital expression, build it up, craft a solution? What's that look like?
So again, my bias is I was trained at P&G, which is the mecca of marketing. They have a process for everything. They are category leaders in every category they compete in. In a lot of categories, they're number one and number two. They have Pampers and Loves. So you want to get to a point where you're solving the biggest number of problems with the biggest audience. So the key is for people to, sorry, I'm losing my way here. You're going to have to.
Yeah, but is it like they have to follow the money? Like there's a lifetime value group that's 60% of the market and they have to organize the things for that? Or is it thinking through like brand architecture and guidelines and, you know, standards?
You're basically trying to slice and dice who the primary, secondary, and tertiary audiences are, and what the core messages are for each of those audiences, and who are the gatekeepers that help you make those decisions that get to those decision makers to pull the trigger to say yes. So, you know, it's a big chessboard, basically. And, you know, you're dealing with the audience, the message, the timing, the hierarchy of the messages. You know, you got to have the support points. What are the headlines? What are the support points? People make decisions emotionally, even though they think they're being data driven. So what are those kind of warm and fuzzy feelings you can encourage people to buy into your value proposition that reinforces the emotional reasons why they want to buy your product and service?
You're ending up with them canceling out some ideas, going deep in others, message hierarchy, reasons to believe, proof points, enabling benefits, and then they take that to their creative execution or into the product teams, and that is their kind of roadmap or work plan on how to build their digital identity.
Yep. And the important thing is, you know, there are a million touch points today. People are on a lot of different social media platforms. They've got, they've got their websites, they've got their, you know, all the different touch points that, you know, a lot of them have brochures, they have downloadable stuff, they do thought leadership online, you know, there are just a million different messages that are out there. And I think where people tend to go astray is they try to do everything. And you really can't be everywhere all the time. I always encourage my clients to just be brutally honest with themselves about where they are strong and where they are weak. You need to stick to the things that are authentically best showcasing your strengths. So for me personally, I'm not on all social media platforms. For me, as running a professional service firm, LinkedIn is my go-to. I was a very early user of LinkedIn, and that is my main social media platform. It's a great tool for thought leadership. And, you know, today, LinkedIn is kind of a core way to build a relationship and trust in a digital world. It's not just a resume or a Rolodex. It's how we check each other out and know that we know people in common, that we kind of live in the same world. You can do a lot of back channel investigations of people you're going to be talking to or meeting with.
But you're really highlighting that's your strength, and the brands need to live in their strength, which might be an Instagram, it might be a Facebook, it might be a Twitter.
Right. But
my
clients are not looking for me on Facebook. So, you know, that is not an area that I spend any time on, and that is not a priority for me. But if it is for you, then make that your number one. But you don't need to be there just because your friends, your neighbors, your competitors are there. If that's not playing to your strengths, let it go.
One final question, Paige. When you think about digital branding and the challenges in front of us, can you give us a one-word feeling about how you feel about it today and why? And then that'll be our closing comment for today.
So I think the one word is consistency. You need to have a consistent brand across digital platforms. I think where people make mistakes is they think they can be real buttoned up and professional on LinkedIn. And then on Facebook, they want to look like cool and they want to show the spring break shots and they're partying on the beach. And then they want to be real snarky on Twitter. And the problem with being a different person on a different platform is when you show up, people don't know which version of you is going to be there. And so you're not building trust and you're not building an authentic brand. You're giving people a reason to question or not know, like, who is this person? Can I believe that they're really funny, or are they just being funny because they want to get a tweet in that goes viral? Like, so I feel like the name of the game is build an authentic brand consistently everywhere. So when you show up, people know you're going to deliver. You know, it's the same for people that want a blog. They say, oh, blogs are important, I need to start one. Well, if you like blogging and you're going to do it consistently, it's a great idea. If you start a blog and the first week you blog 3 or 4 times, and then the next week it's down to twice, and then you forget the third week, and then you on the fourth week, you're like, oh, I'm only going to have time for a quick.
Yeah, forget it.
That is diluting your brand, and it's sending a signal that you're flaky and people can't trust you. They can't count on you.
Yeah.
So my word is consistency and authenticity.
Paige Arnofen, thanks for being with us. Mavens and Moguls, this is Digitally Enabled. Greg Silverman signing off. Thanks, everyone, for listening today.